Now let's prepare our hearts and open our ears to hear a fresh and relevant message from the Word of God shared by our very own Pastor Eddie.
Good morning. Let's make our Bible proclamation. Hold up your Bibles and let's say it loud and proud. Come on, say it. Over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it, whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Started a message series 3 weeks ago entitled, What's Love Got to Do With? How many of you remember Tina Turner with that black leather miniskirt, right? I can still see Tina. Boy, she could wail, huh? She could sing. And you young people are like, who is that? Great song back in the 80s, long before some of you were ever a thought. Good song. Anyway, I took the title of that song and I translated it into the title of this message series because I wanted us to talk about what's love got to do with our relationships. Week 1 and 2, I talked about the relationship called marriage. How many of you have been applying some of the truths about marriage to your relationships? Anybody? And is it working for you? But the rest of you need to get on board. And you'll have a happy marriage too. Today I'm going to do something I don't think that I've ever done. I began to kind of think back over the 10, almost 11 years we've been a church. And I don't know that I've ever preached about single life. I was terrified. So this week as I prepared, I was like, God, I don't even know how to be single in the context of being a Christian. Because when I was single, I wasn't a Christian. And you don't want to know how I live my single life. Great lessons, you know, a lot of things not to do. But nevertheless, it would not be a good lesson in this context. So I was like, Lord, show me how to live the single life. And so that's what the Lord began to do. So hopefully today will translate to those of you who are single. Any single people in the house? If you're single and proud, raise your hand. Man, a lot of single folks in here. Good, good, good. All right, so I'm going to give you some tips today, some perspectives today, and hopefully you'll begin to view your single life differently. And that's the goal. I'm not here to change your single life. We're not here to set you up on a blind date or anything like that. We're just simply here to show you how to live the single life successfully in Christ. Amen? So if I were to define the word love or ask you to define the word love, you might all define it somewhat differently. I shared with you the last 2 weeks that the dictionary defines love in this way: an intense feeling of deep affection. Now what I find interesting about that definition in the Webster's Dictionary is that when you read God's definition of the word love, it looks nothing like an intense feeling because it has nothing to do with feelings. I want you to understand, love is not a feeling. That thing that you felt for one another, that was called lust. That was called attraction. That was called magnetism. It had nothing to do with love. That developed over time. That developed over choice. And you guys decided at some point that you were going to live in this love relationship. It could be with the opposite sex. It could be with a parent. It could be with a child. It could be with your aunt, your uncle, your friends. It could be with a coworker. I love them. We're very close. We're tight. I love them. And that's okay to love someone else, right? Because we were created for relationship. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the chapter, the passage on love. It is the foremost passage on the subject of love throughout the entire Bible. And you probably know it as well as I do. That's what it says. Love is patient and love is kind. It doesn't say it feels patient and it feels kind. I don't always feel patient. Matter of fact, I rarely feel patient. Ask my wife. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, and it always hopes, and it always perseveres. And I love that Paul didn't leave these last three words out. I believe that real love, the way that the Bible describes love, does what 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. The word love is used throughout the passage there and throughout the New Testament many, many times is the Greek word agape. And it's the it says affection or benevolence. And then another definition of agape is a love feast. So according to the definition of agape love, it would appear that it involves the act of giving and receiving. You know, Jesus loved you first, but you have to receive it in order to have it, right? He loved you. It was always there. His love for you was always there, was always present. But in order for you to have it, or in order for you to experience it, you have to receive it. Same goes for husband and wife. Same goes for two friends. I can love Tony, but if Tony never reciprocates, then it's an unrequited love. It's one way. But love was meant to be a two-way street, right? We give and we take. Now, I want you to understand, today I'm going to tackle something, as I said, I've never done before, talking about the subject of being single. And so I was like, God, you got to show me how to be single. And so the Lord says, I'm going to leave my wife for a period of a few months and I'm going to live single. Just kidding. She's like, you didn't tell me that. You know, because here's the thing. None of us were really meant to do life alone. We were all created for relationship. If you don't believe me, turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis 2:18 says this. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. See, we were created to have and be a part of relationships. First and foremost, we were created for a relationship with our Creator. You were created to have a relationship with God, not to be part of a religion, not to be part of religious practice, but to have a relationship with your Creator. Second, we were created to have relationships with each other. As you can see here in Genesis 2:18, as part of that relationship between man and woman, it was this romantic relationship. We're meant to have that too. He said it wasn't good for man to be alone, so I'm going to create a helper suitable for him. So what did God do? He didn't take more dirt to create the woman. He took the rib from the man and created the woman. He completed the process. He finished what he started. The first thing I believe that you need to do if you're going to live successfully as a single person in the context of being a Christian, I believe that you have to first learn to love God. I don't believe you can be a successful single person. I don't believe you can be a successful person on the earth and not have a loving relationship with your Creator. I think you have to learn to love God. Now, when you tell somebody out there, you need to learn to love God, they'll look at you like you have three eyes. Now, why would I need to learn to love God? I don't even know God. I don't know who he is. I have no business. No, I don't care, you know. And here's the thing. You were created. You're not an accident. I want you to think about this. When you think about evolution, the idea of evolution is crazy in and of itself. Imagine this. There's a humongous junkyard on Interstate 10 headed toward Mississippi. Imagine you go to that junkyard and you take a big bomb and you throw it in the junkyard and the bomb goes off and out comes, as a result of the explosion, a 747, ready to fly, completely running, ready to go. Now that is impossible, right? Now when you look at the human body and you think about the complexity of the human body, I want you to understand it'd be the same idea, that bomb going off and creating an airplane that could fly as something accidentally happening and you came out of it. You understand? So we need to learn to love our Creator. Listen, you may be single today as a result of a divorce. You may be single today as a result of a death. Or you may be single today as a result of your choice. Whatever it is, you're okay being single. And God has you there for a time, for a season, or maybe for the rest of your life, whichever you decide. But you get to decide that, right? Amen? So we need to learn to love God. Now, how do we learn to love God? How do we learn to love this unseen, unknown being? Well, we have to first understand that God loves us. Well, how do we know God loves us? Well, John 3:16 tells us, for God did what? So loved the world. That includes all of us, single and married alike, young and old. Doesn't matter where you're from. He loves us all, the world, so that anyone who believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we learn to love him because he first loved us. You see, we can learn to love him because we understand he first loved us. Is the heater on in here? Because all of a sudden I have this heat wave happening. Yes, Jesus. I mean, all right, so when Jesus was asked the question, he was doing ministry, he was asked a question, and I want you to understand, this question appears in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And anytime you see a scripture that pops up in more than one place, pay extra attention to it because God is obviously wanting you to see this. He's obviously wanting you to get the point of this. And he didn't mention it three times just by happenstance. The word synoptic, by the way, just means with one eye. It means they all saw things from the same perspective. Okay? So in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, in Mark 12, 30, and in Luke 10, 27, Jesus was asked, what was the greatest commandment? And it's what he says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, here Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Old Testament. And he's talking to Jewish people. So Jesus was a Jew, he's talking to Jewish people, and he's saying, hey, remember what Moses spoke in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1? He said, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one, therefore love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Here he's quoting that now in the New Testament. He carries what was in the old into the new, and he's saying, this is the most important thing for you to get. Listen, regardless of the context that you live in today, single, married, or otherwise, I want you to understand, first and foremost, if you're going to be successful in this life, you better learn to love God first. Amen. Secondly, you need to learn to love others. He said the second part is this. He said, and the second one is this, to learn to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what I find is interesting about that is when we learn to love others the way Jesus loved them, you know, we find ourselves doing loving ourselves too. We become important. How many, I'm not going to ask that question. I mean, how many of you don't like yourself? I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand. See, when you learn to love God, you learn to love others. You also learn to love yourself just the way you are, just the way you were created. Listen, scars, flaws, and all, right? And I want you to understand, when you look in the mirror and you see problems, God sees possibility. God doesn't see problems. He goes, I made you just like that. When I look in the mirror, I go, perfection. Y'all don't see what I see. Now, in regard to living the single life, I began to do research. God, show me all the scriptures related to living single. You know, there are some scholars, biblical scholars out there that some point out 40, 45 scriptures. And I began to comb through this litany of scripture, and I began to find that they all did not apply to living single. So I was like, God, don't get me wrong, the Bible is for all of us and all parts of us, and regardless of who we are and where we are, but I want you to understand there are very few scriptures that are specifically talking to single life. The main one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So if you're single, I would suggest you go home and read that, and there's some great nuggets in there for you. And so I'm going to read a part of it today, and I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 6 says, I say this, Paul's talking to the church, I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift and another that. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. Now Paul's saying here, hey, listen, what we find is that this single life is really a gift from God, and staying unmarried is good. And then in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus' disciples were asking him about the subject of divorce. Can a man divorce his wife for any reason? And Jesus says, no, except for marital unfaithfulness. But he says in verse 10 of chapter 19, if this is the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry, his disciples said. And Jesus says, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. So as you see here, not a lot of scriptures about single life. And again, we want to focus on the ones that specifically lend themselves to what we're talking about, not trying to drag in other things that really don't apply here. And so these two are definitely referring to being single, and we're going to kind of live there. So I'm going to give you four spiritual truths today about being single. And really, to live the single life successfully is all about your perspective. How you view this life that you live will determine how you live the life that you have. Amen? Number one perspective that I want you to get today is this. Being single, as I said a minute ago, is a gift. Now, I hope that you look at your single life as a gift. Paul said, each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift and another that. Now, to the unmarried and the widows, I say it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. And again, in chapter 19 of Matthew, verse 11, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. Since it's a gift, we have to recognize it as such and begin to be thankful and grateful for where we are at this moment in time. How many of you single people wake up every day, thank you, Jesus, that I'm single. Thank you, Lord, that I get to be my own person today. I get to do what I want to do. See, that's called contentment. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, that godliness with contentment is great gain. See, when we learn to be content where we are and with what we have, you know what God does? Gives us more. I remember years ago, we had moved into our first church building, and it was this, the little strip mall over there on 4th Street. And I remember thinking, thank you, Jesus, for this building. And we immediately began to grow in that building and kind of outgrow it. And I just kept telling the staff that was on staff at the time, I said, you know, God told me when we first got this place that we needed to learn to be thankful for what we have, and one day he would give us what we need. I was thankful for a long time. 5.5 years. I'm like, God, I've been thankful a long time. Can you hurry this thing up? But God said, you know, when the timing was right, and the timing just wasn't right, and so all of a sudden then he moves us from 6,000 square feet to 16,000 square feet in downtown Covington. I was like, we didn't hit the jack. We hit the church jackpot. And God said, oh, no, we're not done yet. This is just a holding pattern. We got you here till the next place gets ready. And this place at the time was a furniture store. And God, it wasn't ready yet because the owner didn't want to sell it yet. How many buildings did we look at, Jerry? Golly. I dragged that man to more buildings. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I want to share a scripture with you today that's so often taken out of context, and so often we look at and we really get the idea and the message of the scripture wrong. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 37, verses 4 through 6. Talking about being content. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Listen, while you are single, whether it's where you have desired to be or have been placed there by circumstances, I want you to understand you need to learn to do what Psalm 37 is saying. Now, when I say take delight in the Lord, I know what you're thinking because it's what I thought. I think it's like, okay, God, you're wonderful. I'm going to love you. I'm going to follow you. That's not what it means. To take delight in the Lord, the word delight is the Hebrew word anog, and it means to be soft and pliable. Now, you see the difference? See, I can delight myself in the Lord. Oh, God, you're wonderful. Or I can just allow myself to be soft and pliable before God so that he can shape me and mold me into what he wants me to be so ultimately I can have what he wants me to have. Then what you'll do is you'll find wherever you are and whatever it is that you're in at this moment, you'll learn to be content there. You being single is not a curse. It's not a sentence. You haven't been sentenced there for life. Oh my God, I'm in this trap of being single. Listen, if you're there, learn to view it as it is. It's a gift from God. Thank God for where you are right now. Take delight in him, and one day, this is what he says, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Put him first in everything. Listen to this. Make him your heart's desire, and he'll give you your heart's desire. Instead of focusing on what you don't have, focus on what you do have. What do you have? Well, let's see. I have a relationship with my Creator. I know Jesus in a deep, intimate way. I don't think there's anything greater than that in this entire universe. And when you know him and you really know him, there's nothing better. Amen?
Amen.
And so even single, married, or otherwise, when you learn to live there, life takes on a whole new meaning. When I make Jesus my priority, you know what he does? He makes my desires his priority. You're not where you want to be? Married, single, or otherwise, you're not where you want to be? Make him your priority, and he'll make your priorities his priority. If you failed in relationships, for you single folks, if you failed in relationships and you can't seem to find the right one, maybe you're looking through the wrong lens. Maybe you say, we're kind of people of, a creature of habit. And so, if you tend to like a certain type, I got to be careful, right? You tend to like a certain type, but that type seems to always be the problem. Maybe you need to look for a new type. Just saying. How about this? Have you ever thought of going before God and listing all the qualities of the person that you are looking for? Not 6'6", blonde, blue eyes, muscular with 4% body fat, and a six-pack. That could be at the bottom of the list. But you know, some qualities, some characteristics. God, I'm looking for just someone first and foremost that loves you like I love you.
That's right.
That wants a relationship with you above all things. God, I want somebody that'll view me as the gift that I am. How about that? And then what's going to happen is you give that to God. Say, all right, here it is, God. I want the person that you have for me.
Amen.
And I'm going to quit looking because I believe you're going to bring them to me.
Yes.
First, start by delighting yourself in the Lord. And then he'll give you the desires of your heart. Remember this. Say it with me. Say,
being single
is a gift.
It's a gift.
All right. Don't forget to thank the gift giver. Because when you reject the gift, you reject the gift giver. Number two, being single has its advantages. During the first service, as I was speaking this, I got a little envious of you single people because I know what's going to happen after church. I'm going to go, honey, where do you want to go eat? She's going to say, I don't care. And I'm going to mention a restaurant. She's going to say, no, I don't want that. You go through the same thing. We go through this every day, all day. Where do you want to eat? How do you want to eat? I'm like, listen, I'm the easiest human being on the planet when it comes to food. Just feed me. Like, I don't want to argue about where we're going. Just make up your mind. And so I'm trying to be, the loving husband, deferring, letting her choose. And you know what I mean? Like, so you single people, you have an advantage. You get to go, where do I want to eat today? Wherever I want to, because nobody's arguing with me. Look, he says in 1 Corinthians 7:28, but if you do marry, you've not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she's not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, like deciding where to eat. And he said, and I want to spare you this. Trying to do you a favor. So when you're going to lunch today and you ain't arguing about where you're going, say, thank you, Jesus, for the advantage of being single. The last 2 weeks of the series, I made the statement that marriage is hard. Somebody should say amen.
Amen.
Be careful if you're married and you're saying amen. Marriage is hard, And I want you to understand, being single is an advantage when it comes to that. Because, listen, two people, very different human beings, men and women, we're wired different. We think, I mean, y'all are weird. I mean, just, I mean, as you heard me say last week, I mean, we're just simple. We're just very easy and simple. And you women are more complex. Anyway, I'm getting myself in more trouble as I speak, so I'm going to stop. But the point is that we have to learn to do this dance together. And as a single person, you get to dance however you want. And you ain't going to step on nobody's toes. So while you're single, just go, thank you for the advantage of being single, Jesus. You know, cuts down on arguments. How about this one? Become thankful for the extra time that you have to yourself instead of bemoaning the time you have by yourself. You see the difference? Same time, but just thanking God for the time you have to yourself instead of bemoaning, because I got all this time by myself. There's some married people in here be like, I wish I had some time by myself. Not me, I'm just saying. Being single has its advantages. Number three, being single is hard. You know why being single is hard? Because as I said earlier in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. Now, and here's the problem with being single in the culture in which we live. How many of you deal with this constantly? Your friend's always trying to set you up. I got this guy at work, you're going to love. This girl, what does she look like? She got a great personality. You know those conversations, right? And you're like, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to pass. I'm not into blind dates, especially with good personality. So, nothing wrong. Jesus. Nothing wrong with good personality. I got to get out of this real quick. The woman was created for the man for the woman. The creation of the woman was the completion of the man. But listen to me, single people. If you decide never to get married again, that's okay. See, our culture makes you feel like second-class citizens because you're not married, but we should not. Even in church, where's your husband? Well, I'm not married. Where's your wife? Well, I'm not married. There's nothing wrong with you not being married. And we, as people who are married, need to quit looking at them like something's wrong with them because they don't have a partner. Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6 says that God will be a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. And in verse 6, it says God sets the lonely in families. Listen, if you find yourself single, remember he placed you in families. Now, if your nuclear family is kind of dysfunction junction, and you're like, well, listen, I can't be around my nuclear family, God placed you in a spiritual family called the church. Now, I want you to understand, your family will only be as close to you as you allow them to be. And so I believe loneliness is a choice. Don't crucify me for saying it. I'm just saying. So we get to decide, how close am I going to let you be to me or not? If we keep nuclear or otherwise, if we keep our family at a distance and we don't let them get close to encourage us and speak into us and hold us accountable, well, then guess what? There are going to be times where you are lonely. Same goes for your spiritual family. If you don't let us close, if you don't let us gather around you and love you and encourage you and speak into you and hold you accountable, you're going to be lonely. And so God puts you in family because it's not good for you to be alone, whether you choose to be married or not. Now, the other part of this being single is hard is that God created all of us, men and women, with a desire for physical intimacy. Now, you go, what do I do with that as a single person? Well, you can live outside of God's plan and do what you want with it, or you can say, you know what? I'm going to give this to God too. I'm going to surrender this part of my life to God too so that I can live a holy and righteous life before God so that one day when I meet him or her, the person that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, I'll have protected that and watched over that and stewarded that for a better day. Amen? Amen? All right, and last but not least, being single is not permanent. You said, well, you just said it was okay to be single. I did, but listen to this. You know, this life that we live on the earth is temporary. And one day, as believers, our God, our Savior, is coming back to get his bride, the church. And so every one of us are going to be married again one day to Jesus for all eternity. And as I said in the first service, I'm looking at some of you guys, and I'm picturing you in white wedding dresses. That is scary. You ladies, you're like, well, I was designed for that. And yes, you were. The point is that our time on the earth is short, very short. We put all of our efforts into this life, and we don't think enough about the next life. You see, I remember hearing a guy many years ago, a pastor said, if you took a tape measure and you stretched it literally from Los Angeles to New York, there'd be a lot of tape measure, right? Lots of feet, lots of inches and lots of feet and lots of yards and miles and on and on and on, right? Well, he said, if you took one of those little marks on the beginning of the tape measure, a 64th of an inch, that would be the equation of your life on earth, and the rest of it would be eternity. So you see, the eternity is much longer than this temporary thing that you're in right now. So we have to remember that even if you're single, and that's the way you want to be or you don't want to be, or you've been there longer than you wanted to be, I want you to understand you're going to be married one day to Jesus for all eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Being single is temporary. Listen, here it is. Four spiritual truths, four perspectives about being single. It's a gift from God. Say it with me. Say, this is a gift. It has its advantages. You get to decide where to go to lunch. You ain't got to question, look in the rearview mirror, where do I want to go? Wherever you want. Being single can be hard because you were created for relationship. But don't exclude people from your life or you will be lonely. And then lastly, being single is not permanent. Would you stand with me? I did this in the first service, and I think I want to do this again. If you're single today, and listen, by the way, absolutely, I want you to get your head around this. There is nothing wrong with being single. As a matter of fact, I like I said, it has its advantages. They won't be arguing about where to go to lunch today. They won't be arguing about what time to go to bed tonight or what movie to watch or where to spend their money or not, you know. Being married's hard. I want to invite single people today to join me here at the altar. And then I want to ask some of our leaders to gather around them and to pray over them today. So whether you guys decide, hey, I want another romantic relationship or not, that it's not for us to know, and it's not that we don't care. We care. We care, and we want to gather around you to pray with you however you decide you want to be, however you want to proceed from here. So all of you, man, come on, all of you single folks, all the single ladies, all the single. I know. Would you, if you're one of our leaders, would you just gather around? Let's stretch our hands out, please, toward these people. Let's pray. Just a blessing over them today. Heavenly Father, I give you all praise and glory today for the people gathered in this room. God, for these folks who are walking the walk of singleness in a society, God, that seems to be really so against it. And commercials on TV all day, every day about becoming a partner and finding someone to do life with. But God, you put them in spiritual family. You put them in families. And I pray that these families gather around them and begin to encourage them and pray for them and help to hold them accountable and be love, be God to these folks each and every day as we help them walk this walk that you've called them to walk. And God, we do pray for those who desire another romantic relationship. God, that you send the right one. The one that you have designed for them to spend the rest of their life here on earth with. Bless them today as they go. God, and I pray, give them the desire of their hearts today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.